You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
What's going on, Rev Church? Everybody say, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Good to see everybody today. We're so glad you're here. We have a ton to go over today, so I'm going to get straight into it as we begin our brand new series where we are going through the book of Proverbs. As I studied this book this week and started to read it, I sort of had this epiphany and this idea that in our culture, every single one of us, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, wants advice on how to get through life. We want advice, really, not just how to get through life in America. We want to know how to win at life. And so everyone seems to frantically search for tips from experts in books, on TV shows, or in magazines. I don't know if you know this, but the number one search engine for Gen Z is none other than TikTok. That's where they get most of their information, is from TikTok. Can y'all believe that? Some of that's good information, some of it is bad information, just like everybody else. Maybe you're like me, though, and you remember my generation where we got our advice was from shows like Dr. Phil. Anybody know who Dr. Phil is? Yeah? I'm heading to look like him. I'm going bald. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so Oprah, you know, we'd watch her TV show and get some good tips on how to live our lives. Maybe you're even older in here and you remember the days when advice columns were really popular in newspapers. Does anybody remember those? Raise your hand. Yeah. These are not old people. These are the more seasoned people. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's what we call them here at Rev Church. They're seasoned. Dear Abby. Yeah, you remember that? It was in every single newspaper on a certain day of the week. I don't even know if you know this, but there was a famous self-help columnist that was named Bubba somewhere in the South. And he was the perfect example of why men should not write advice columns. Because listen to this one entry in the paper one day. Dear Bubba, I hope you can help me. The other day I set off for work, leaving my husband in the house watching the TV as usual. I hadn't gone more than a mile down the road when my engine conked out and the car shuddered to a halt. I walked back home to get my husband's help. When I came home, I couldn't believe my eyes. He was in our house with a neighbor lady. I'm 32, my husband is 34, and we've been married for 12 years. When I confronted him, he tried to make out that he went into the backyard and heard a lady scream. Had come to her rescue, but found her unconscious. He carried the woman back to our house, attempting to, and began CPR. When she awoke, she immediately began thanking him, and he was attempting to break free when I came through the door. After telling him that I didn't buy his story, he broke down and admitted that he'd been having an affair for the past 6 months. He was let go from his job 6 months ago and says he's been feeling increasingly depressed and worthless. I told him that this sort of thing had better stop or I would leave him. I love him very much, but ever since I gave him the ultimatum, he has become increasingly distant, and I don't feel that I can get through to him anymore. Can you please help? Sincerely, Sheila. Here's Bubba's response. Dear Sheila, a car stalling after being driven a short distance can be caused by a variety of faults with the engine. Start by checking that there's no debris in the fuel line. If it's clear, check the vacuum pipes and hoses on the intake manifold, and also check all the ground wires. I hope this helps. Bubba. Men should not write advice columns. If we're honest, even as Christians, most of us are more likely to read a book, search TikTok on a certain subject that we need help with in our life than go to the book, the Bible, for advice. Too often, Christians say they want God's Word, but really what they want is they want to practice worldly strategies on how to win at life and get through life. See, I believe every single one of us is really looking for everyday advice, ways to live a better life, ways to live a life that's more fulfilling, more joy in our life. And it becomes daunting as a Christian, if we're honest, when we try to go to the Scriptures for that advice. Sometimes it's very difficult to take the Bible and translate it into actual practical daily living. What we're going to find in the book of Proverbs is that the Bible does an incredible job of addressing the nitty-gritty details of life, everyday living for every one of us. And possibly the best book that offers this real-world, real-time wisdom is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is written in a genre, and it's important for you to know this, as we'll point several things out as to why this is important, especially today and in the future. But it's written in a genre called Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry is very, it'll say things that might be confusing, but they have a separate meaning. Hebrew poetry also does this, especially in the book of Proverbs. It tends to jump around quite a bit. In Proverbs, you can be in one chapter that talks about five different subjects. From verse to verse, it will jump around from subject to subject. And so you'll see as we go through this series, yes, we're going to go verse by verse through much of it, but this is really the only book of the Bible that I believe preaching by subject might be the easiest way for us to consume it and to understand it. So in the coming weeks, you're going to hear sermons on drinking. What does Proverbs in the Bible say about drinking? You're going to hear sermons on abortion. You're going to, anything that the book of Proverbs deals with, we are going to deal with, and it might not just be on a chapter. It might be on a specific subject with several references of Scripture throughout the book of Proverbs. The word Proverbs, if you actually read the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint version of the Old Testament is the Greek version of the Old Testament. Most versions of the Old Testament are written in Hebrew, but in the Septuagint, in the Greek, the word proverb is the same word that's used for Jesus' parables. So parable and proverb are interchangeable. This book was written mainly by a guy you've heard of named Solomon, and remember, in 1 Kings chapter 3, it tells us that Solomon was wiser than anyone. But there's also two other authors. In chapter 30, we're going to see that there's another author by the name of Amur. And then there's another author in chapter 31 called King Lemuel. King Lemuel. But most of the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon, or a scribe would take some of the wisdom sayings of Solomon and put them into the book of Proverbs. Today, we are going to be introduced to the major theme of the entire book. That theme is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Yes. Wisdom. We're going to do the best we can today to explain what wisdom is. Hopefully, I've done my job. If you walk away understanding and having a good working definition of what wisdom exactly is, but we're also going to set up some of the connection of the major words that seem to be, throughout the book of Proverbs, interchangeable with the word wisdom, but are very tightly connected, at the very least, to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll get into verse 7, and then we'll get into verses 20 through 23. And it's going to be good. Y'all with me? Say, I am. Says this in Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction. What's the book for? Tells us right out the gate. I love it. For gaining wisdom and instruction. For understanding words of insight. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior. Doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple. You're going to see the book of Proverbs talk about simple people quite a bit. Simple people. Everybody look at your neighbor and, no, don't do that. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. All of us are simple, though. That's the gist of it, okay? For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So, hey, young folks in here, listen up. The book of Proverbs might be the best book that you could study if you're young in here. And I understand that's subjective, but I'm talking teenager, college, somewhere around adolescence age. This is a great book for you. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. These first six verses let us know as I've really stated, that Proverbs is a book of wisdom. In fact, you'll find the word wisdom some 37 times throughout the book of Proverbs, depending on the translation that you read. Proverbs, to simplify this, speaks to three specific things throughout the entirety of the book. It can be broken down into these three categories: wisdom, foolishness, and sinfulness. It's broken down into these three categories. Now, I'm going to give you a couple definitions of these things, but in just a second, I'm going to give you more definitions to hopefully clarify what it is we're talking about. Wisdom is the ability to read a situation and make the right decision. Foolishness is being unwilling or, follow me here, unable to read a situation and making the wrong or the more difficult decision for your life. It's important to note this as we start, that sometimes clearly in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is righteousness, foolishness is sinfulness. But very often we see that wisdom and foolishness are not necessarily sinful. It's just wisdom makes your life easier and foolish makes your life more difficult, if that makes sense. So foolish people are not always sinful people. Let me give you a couple of examples. There are people that think that George Clooney was the best Batman. That's not sinful. That's foolish. There are people whose favorite band is Nickelback. Okay? I'm sorry. We love y'all. It's not sinful. It's just Nickelback sucks. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. There are people that think Taco Bell is good Mexican food. Y'all know, if you work at Taco Bell, no hate. I eat it every once in a while when I'm in a pinch, right? It's not sinful to think that. It's just foolish. It's just foolish. It's not sinful if the University of Alabama is your favorite football team in here. What is it, church? All the Alabama fans are on this side. Y'all didn't say nothing. You're giving me the stink eye. I didn't say a cat joke. Are y'all proud of me? You know what I mean? I hope that makes sense. Makes sense. Additionally, along with Proverbs speaking to three things, you know, wisdom, foolishness, sinfulness, Proverbs conversely speaks of three types of people that make decisions or are involved in those three things: wise people, foolish people, and evil people. Let me give you another definition. Wise people are people that live a godly life in a skillful manner. Foolish people are people that, and understand what I'm saying, might be too inexperienced to be able to live in wisdom, too gullible, and don't have enough wisdom or knowledge to be able to make wise decisions in their life, so they're foolish. Evil people are people that intentionally are foolish and intentionally participate in sin. The first six verses sets this up for us. Let's look at verse 7, though. Y'all with me? Say, I am. The next verse starts to give us some nuggets of wisdom, and they're all through Proverbs. Again, we're going to jump around quite a bit here. A lot of scripture references today. 7 is a very well-known verse. Listen to what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, in this verse, there are three different words that are used that seem to be interchangeable. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's knowledge? But fools despise wisdom. What's wisdom? And instruction. Let's define these things and give an extra definition of knowledge of wisdom as well. Knowledge is this. For our purposes as Christians that love the Lord, it is information that has been absorbed and gathered over time through the study of Scripture. So you memorize Scripture, you learn Scripture, you read the Bible, that is knowledge. Now, a side note, you can have knowledge but not be wise. You absolutely, there's people that have the whole Bible memorized probably, but they don't live a life of wisdom. James chapter 4, verse 17, if you remember when we went through that book, it says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If you remember, we talked about sins of commission, which are things you do that are wrong, like lying, stealing, and then sins of omission, which are things that you know you should do, but you don't do. It's a sin of omission. So it's possible to have knowledge, to know the scriptures, to know what's right, and not make a decision on it. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, everything we do with God in mind. We do in the fear of the Lord. In other words, you are guaranteed to be foolish in your life if you do not include God in your thought processes, your decision making, and the actions that you do every single day. You're guaranteed to act a fool. So that's knowledge, wisdom. How does it tie into this verse? I've given you a couple definitions, but let me give you another one. Wisdom is making choices based on the knowledge that you obtain. So it's not just possessing the knowledge, it's actually putting the knowledge into action. J. Vernon McGee wrote a great commentary on the book of Proverbs, puts it this way, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge aright. So it's actually putting in play the things that you know in your mind. Then it says instruction. A fool despises instruction. This word is a little harder. The word instruction is used around 26 times in the book of Proverbs. It'll be used as instruction, could be translated correction, teaching, counsel, discipline. If you know the King Jimmy version of the Bible really well, it'll use it in the word chasten. But instruction, the definition is to teach by discipline. So fools hate to be taught by discipline. This is the same word that's used in Proverbs 13:24. This is the parent verse, okay? You've heard this one before. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Exact same word for discipline and instruction here. Now, depending on your age and how you were brought up, when you hear that verse, it gives you a different picture in your mind. For my generation and above, when we hear that verse and we hear instruction and we hear chasing and we hear discipline, we think of butt whoopings. Is anybody with me? Say amen. Amen. We think of go get the belt, son. Y'all know what I'm saying? Or maybe some of y'all grew up and mom or dad said, I want you to go outside. And what did they say? Get a switch, take all the leaves off, and I'm going to wear your rear end out. The good old days. Amen, y'all. We're still here, and that happened to us. Can you believe it? We're not dead. Now, for a lot of younger generations, discipline means time out or give me your phone. What is going on, y'all? What is going on? My mom and dad never said, oh, Josh, you're being naughty. I think you need a time out. They backhanded my rear end. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm not saying backhand your kids. I'm just saying it is effective. You know what I'm saying? This is the picture here. A fool hates it. A fool hates it when you're instructed, taught by discipline. Go get a switch. Give me your phone. Sit and time out. A fool hates it. See a theme here? We all hate it. Anybody in here a fool? Anybody in here a fool? Nobody's raising their hand. You're kind of son. Just, dude, now y'all feel bad up there, yeah. Look at your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. Instruction. Additionally, let me throw this fourth word in that sometimes seems to be interchangeable and can be confusing. It's really talked about in verse 2, but understanding. So knowledge, having the knowledge of Scripture in your mind, knowing what's right to do, wisdom, actually doing it. Instruction, the ability to be able to take constructive criticism from someone that loves you and loves Jesus, more on that in a second. And then understanding, which is a deeper form of wisdom that's passed down from one person to another. These are what verse 2 calls words of insight, is what it says in verse 2 that we previously read. What this verse is saying is a couple different things, but first it's saying that all of us can gain more wisdom. And particularly the younger you are, or the newer you are to something, such as becoming a Christian, starting a certain line of work, the less experience you have. And there are people that have experiences that you don't have, that have the ability to offer you insight, or in other words, wisdom. The more seasoned people in here have made lots of mistakes, ain't we y'all? Ain't we y'all? Come on, y'all, this side too. We've made lots of mistakes. And that's why we look at you guys when you're young and we go, listen, we've been there, we've done that. This ends badly. Let us caution you against this. This is why your parents say things like, I just don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. It's because they're trying to give you wisdom. There's people that have experiences that you don't have that have had successes. They've done things wisely, and it's led to successes in some areas. And they can offer you that wisdom to make your life better. This verse is basically saying, listen to this, a foolish person is a know-it-all. A know-it-all. Anybody in here ever a know-it-all? Raise your hand if you're ever a know-it-all. There's like 20 hands up in this room with 400 people. Pastor's got his hand up. Okay, let's do it this way. Put your hands down. Who's sitting next to someone that acts like a know-it-all sometimes? I can't even count them. Too many now. None of us know everything. None of us know everything. Proverbs 16:16 says, to get wisdom is better than gold. It's better than gold. If somebody gave you a gold bar that you verified was gold, and it would say it weighed 50 pounds, would you care who it was who gave it to you? You could care less. Man, I'm going to pay my house off with this. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to keep it for the end of the world. You're a prepper, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you wouldn't care because they gave you gold. Wisdom is greater than gold. It's greater than gold. The question is, who is in your life? Who do you have in your life? And they qualify themselves with two things. They love Jesus and they love you. If they only love you and they don't love Jesus, they're going to give you horrible worldly advice and you've got to take everything they say with a grain of salt. If they only love Jesus and you don't know if they love you, you don't know if they have the best intentions for you. So who do you have in your life that loves Jesus and loves you, that has the authority and the ability to speak into your life and offer you wisdom, knowing that sometimes that might come in a disciplinary manner? Hey, so-and-so, I think you got a problem. I think you need to stop doing this because it's becoming an issue in your life. Is there anybody in your life that could say that to you? And you'll listen, you'll absorb it, you'll consider it, knowing that that person is probably the person that loves you more than anybody else in your life, because they all know you got a problem too, but they're scared to say anything to you about it. They just love you enough to tell you. They're a person of integrity enough to say, you got to quit drinking. You drink every single day, and you get drunk every single day, and now you're starting to drive when you drink. And now it's affecting our family, and it's affecting our kids. And I love you, and I love you enough to tell you that this is going to destroy your life and ruin all kinds of things if you don't stop. Do you get your panties in a wad when somebody does that? How dare you tell me I can't? Or do you absorb that? Does this make sense to everybody? Say amen. A wise person absorbs this, absorbs it. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. I see in the church all the time, people get saved, they want to grow in their relationship with God, but they're hanging around fools. You're hanging around people that have nothing to offer as far as wisdom, giving you horrible advice. Man, I don't know why you're not growing in your relationship with God. You're hanging out with a bunch of drunks on the weekend at the lake. Gee, it's a mystery, I tell you. I just don't know. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. There's an old saying, you lie with dogs, you're going to get some fleas. Don't lie with dogs. Don't lie with dogs. Don't lie with cats either. Sorry. This verse is saying this. Wisdom is really realizing that you don't know anything. That's what wisdom is. God knows everything. I think it's safe to say this would be a good saying. And remember this if you're young in here. This is what I've learned in my life, being 44 years old. I knew the most I ever knew in my life when I was younger. I was an expert on everything when I was 20 years old. Not saying all 20-year-olds are like that in here, but that's the way I was. But the older I get, the more I realize I don't know anything. Can anybody relate? It's like, man, I thought I was smart, but I'm an idiot. I thought I knew something, but I don't know nothing. The more questions I get, the more unanswered questions I have in my life. This is wisdom. In fact, I would say that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 answers the question, how do you become wise? By becoming a fool. Because God uses the foolish things to put down worldly wisdom, as it puts it. There's heavenly and there's worldly wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the one who finds wisdom. This past week I was starving and I wanted something to eat, but I didn't know what it was I wanted to eat. You ever been there? You're kind of like, man, I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want. I didn't have a lot of options, didn't want to leave the house. And I looked in my fridge, and then I opened my freezer, and sitting in my freezer was a Nestle Crunch ice cream bar. And it was like one of those moments where, like, that's what I want. That is perfect. Praise Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, this is it. This is what I needed, and it's here. Thank you. I was so happy. Well, how much happier should I be over wisdom in my life? Somebody offering me instruction, walking with wise people that pour into my life. If I get that excited over an ice cream bar, how much happier should I get over wisdom? So wisdom is trusting God, trusting His word in all things. And wise people accept instruction and accept wisdom. Let's bump down to verse 20 because I think we have enough time. And let's look at something else chapter 1 tells us about wisdom, verses 20 through 23. Y'all still with me? Say, I am. It says this about wisdom in verses 20 through 23, and I want you to listen to this. This is going to be quick because I'm going somewhere to try to tie this together at the end for all the New Testament believers in here, which is all of us. In verse 20, it continues to talk about wisdom, and it says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple, simple. Man, there's that word again. Any more simple people in here? You decided you're simple yet? Anybody raise your hand? Nobody's raising their hand still. Okay. No simple people. I've been a Christian a while. I'm not simple. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. In these three verses, we see wisdom personified. Once again, this is written in Hebrew poetry. So Wisdom is not a person. It's not like she's like the Holy Spirit, okay, that is a person. That's not what this is. It's just in Hebrew poetry, there's a lot of figurative use of things. And so later in this book, you're going to see foolishness called a she. You're going to see several other subjects that are personified, but it is personified as a she here. And listen to the language that's used. Wisdom calls aloud, raises her voice, cries out, makes her speech. This is very similar language that's used in Proverbs chapter 8. I would encourage you, go read Proverbs chapter 8. We'll get to it, probably do several sermons on wisdom. But the entirety of Proverbs chapter 8 is all wisdom nuggets. And the language that's used here is very similar to Proverbs chapter 8 about it being out in the open, out in a square, crying out. What this means is, think about this, wisdom is out in the open, crying out for even simple people to hear, simple people to learn, simple people to accept. It's saying that wisdom is a lot of common sense. It's a lot of common sense. If I could put it this way, a lot of wisdom is just duh. Everybody say that with me. Duh. Everybody say doy, doy, duh. So a lot of what we read through this book, you're going to be going, well, duh, I know that. But then some of it you're going to be going, yeah, that's pretty obvious and I've done that. We all have decisions like that, don't we? We look back and go, what was I thinking? How could I be so stupid? Duh. Let me give you some examples of the duh that Proverbs speaks to. Should you go into debt to buy something that you don't need? No. No, that is foolish. Duh. Everybody say it with me one more time. Duh. We're cutting hard in here. Let's go with this one. This will wake you up. You're a guy that loves God. You love Jesus. You're trying to live for Him. Question, should you date a stripper? You're laughing because it's so ridiculous. Duh. Let's cut a little harder, okay? You're a gal that loves Jesus. You want to live your life for God. You want a family that's raised in God. You want to be married to the day you die. Should you date a guy that doesn't love Jesus? See, that one's a little harder. That one's a little harder. And I'm not trying to make anybody in here feel bad where you've been there, done that. But I'm sure you would agree with me that you look back and you go, what was I thinking? Why did I marry him? Why did I marry her? All we did was get drunk every single weekend and go party. And what was I thinking? And you want every single young person in here to know, hey, I've been there, done that. Don't go down that road. It's a duh. This is why you need counselors around you, people that love Jesus and love you, because sometimes you're about to make a really stupid decision that's a duh. And they'll go, whoa, hold on here. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Here's another duh. Should I take advice on my marriage from someone that's been divorced 5 times? Not hating on people that have been divorced 5 times, but come on, y'all, say it with me. Duh. This is Proverbs. It's common sense. Should I drive drunk? No. Duh. Should I own a cat? No. Duh. Duh. If you want to get your face eaten off when the tribulation starts, you'll have a cat. Book of Proverbs is fun, isn't it, y'all? It's fun. We're going to have a good time during this series. A couple weeks, I'm preaching on abortion. And somehow, some way, the Lord is going to make us go, wow, this is amazing. Like, but it's duh. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this. Listen to how Solomon breaks it down. Listen to how deep this verse is. This is like, man, you talk about the mysteries of God. And you all need me as a pastor that has went to Bible college to explain this verse to you because it's so deep. Listen how deep this is. The beginning of wisdom is this. What do you think he's going to say? like, I mean, here's the beginning of wisdom. Solomon says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Boy, that's heavy, isn't it? It's available for everybody to get. It's common sense, most of it. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Pursue wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Hang around wise people. Additionally, in this verse, it says that wisdom repents. Repentance means you turn from your ways and you turn to God's ways. You have a humble, open heart that is willing to accept instruction being taught by discipline. You have a humbleness and a humility to be corrected, to be given advice to. You have a humbleness to allow the Holy Spirit to open the Scriptures to you and give you knowledge, so that once you have that knowledge, then you can start to make decisions, wise choices based on that knowledge. Now, I don't know if you've picked up on something here. This is a lot of Old Testament. This is Hebrew poetry. But think about everything we've explained wisdom with. Wisdom cries out, raises her voice, makes a speech, says repent and turn to God. Trust God so you can live a full life. Wisdom is available even for the simple. In other words, it's open for everyone to have. As a New Testament believer, do you see a theme here? Is it similar to something? It's similar to the preaching of the gospel or the gospel itself. One theologian says wisdom in the Old Testament means Jesus Christ for the believer today. In other words, Jesus for us is wisdom. In other words, if you're saved by the blood of Christ and you're a Christian, you have wisdom available to you that's guaranteed already. If you're in here and you do not know Christ, you've never put your trust in Jesus, you can learn a lot of different things that might be similar to wisdom principles, and you can go make a lot of money and you can have successes in different areas, but you will never fully understand what wisdom is without knowing Jesus. If you accept Jesus, it means you have accepted wisdom. If you follow Jesus, it means that you follow wisdom. If you build your life on Jesus, the cornerstone, it means that you are building your life on wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. To know wisdom means to know Christ for the New Testament believers. Wisdom is Christ. J. Vernon McGee, let me quote him again, great commentary that I'm using for this Proverbs series, says this: friend, you may not be brilliant, but when you receive Christ and come to know Christ, then you have wisdom. Wisdom is available to every single believer. The book of James says that if you pray for wisdom, you are guaranteed to receive it. Colossians chapter 1 says, in him, in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. But here's where the rub comes in, and I'll close with this. If you look around the church today and look around at Christians, it sure doesn't seem like that every Christian is living a life of wisdom. What's up with that? I always use this phrase at some of my altar calls that I think this is so true with probably the majority of people in the church, that so many people in the church, so many Christians are riding the fence spiritually and they're getting bit on both legs. What I mean by that is so many people in the church have one foot in the world and they're trying to do their thing in the world and one foot in the church and they're trying to follow God. One foot in following Jesus, but one foot in their own selfishness and their flesh. And the reality is, many people follow Jesus for the benefits that it brings them. What I mean is, so many of us have been taught growing up in church, get your get out of hell free card, and then do whatever you want after that. Now, I'm not telling you that your salvation is based on your works. You absolutely could accept Christ, and then you could go live a pagan lifestyle. That is possible according to scriptures because we're under grace. Is it likely? No, but it's possible. But the reason so many people have drama in their life, like you're saved, you know Jesus, but you're not living a life skillfully for God. There's drama, there's pain, there's suffering, there's heartache, maybe more than ever. And it's because you have the knowledge, but you're not using wisdom and acting on it. You know Jesus, but you're not allowing Jesus to guide your decisions and your life, in other words. You're getting bit on both legs. At some point, every single person in this room has got to make a decision about whether or not you're going to follow Jesus. Like, Christianity is not one of these things that's like every other major religion, I would argue, where you just do the list of A, B, C, and D, and then you're good to go, and you can do whatever you want. No, Christianity means dying to yourself. You tear the fence down. There's no more option. You are all in with Christ, offering your body as a living sacrifice. Come hell or high water, I'm all in with Jesus. I'm all in. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. I'm not saying there won't be times when you're following Jesus where you're going to do foolish things. Okay? You're going to be simple sometimes, in other words. Can I get a good amen from everybody in here? Yeah, how many simple people we got in here? Raise your hand. Y'all are more convinced now, or I'm making you feel really bad about it, one of the two. Wisdom is, I'm all in. I'm all in. Aren't you sick of knowing it's there, but living a life that doesn't show wisdom? Aren't you sick of being around a bunch of idiots, and every time you listen to their advice, bad things happen? Aren't you sick of trying to figure it out on your own and being in this cycle of insanity where you're doing the same dumb crap over and over and dating the same kind of guys that are doing the same things to you? Making these grandiose statements in your marriage, well, we'll do this and it'll fix everything, and you end up right back where you were. Go all in with Jesus. Go all in with Jesus. Decide to do things His way, and you'll live a life of wisdom. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for today. I thank You for every single person here. God, thanks for the book of Proverbs. We think of Proverbs as this light book that just gives us some everyday wisdom, but man, this series is going to be hard. It's going to run some people off. There's going to be people today that heard what's coming up in this series, and they might not be back, but God, I pray that You use this book to intrigue people to know what it is You say on certain things. I pray, God, that we live lives of wisdom. Help me personally, God, and maybe some people need to piggyback on this prayer. Help me not to be a know-it-all. Help me not to think I got it all together and I got all the answers, and to seek counsel from wise people that love You and love me and love this church. Help me to follow You, Jesus. And God, save me in those moments where I'm stupid, I'm simple, I'm foolish. Please have mercy on me in those moments where I do goofy things. We love You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you guys. You're dismissed. See you next week.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.